I'm Jared Waitley. Here's a snapshot of Monday, April 29. Your snap judgments from the weekend of sport.
Top off a wonderful weekend. I spent the most amazing day yesterday at LIV Golf with my 12-year-old son. And look, I tell you, we punch well above our weight when it comes to those sort of events here in Adelaide, Jared. And, we did it with the Grand Prix, we do it with Gather Round, and now LIV Golf is just something different. So if you're over in Melbourne or wherever you might be, book your tickets for next year. It is just an amazing event.
I was absolutely enthralled by this yesterday, Tim. I watched much more than I anticipated I was going to. What was the atmosphere like around the playoff?
Oh, it's electric. And, that was next level again, but every person teeing off, or every player that's putting in for, whether it be par, under par, over par, whatever it might have been, it's just staggering the amount of people that were that were around the hole or around the tee-off point.
Thanks, Jared. My snap judgment from the weekend is that the idea of, say, two divisions, maybe with 12 teams each, needs to happen sooner rather than later. I feel like every passing week it's just increasingly clear that there are Division 1 teams, there are Division 2 teams. Everybody knows which is a Division 1 game or a Division 2 game, or when a Division 1 team is playing a Division 2 team. And there's some games that are interesting and some games that are much of less interest every week. And the way to inject interest into the lesser games is to bring in this idea that keeps getting fobbed off every time it's raised, but bring in this idea, introduce a few new teams, take it to 24, split it into two divisions. There would be so much interest then in all the games rather than just a select few. Yeah, that's my... I thought it was just increasingly clear that in the weekend just gone.
That is a big snap judgment, Craig. I salute you, as that's probably as far as we ever go in a snap judgment on a Monday. Thanks for sharing your view.
David King long ago anointed Jeremy Cameron the best player in the comp.
He's the game's biggest migraine. There's never a perfect matchup for him because he takes you to the deep water if you're undersized, and he'll take you up the field and beat you back if you're not athletically capable. So he's just the perfect player at the moment and exactly delivering upon what the coach needs him to do in his own way. So he's you look at him, the week I said that, Jerry, it was quite funny. Right? The week I said it, we did that cover that next game with Fox. And I reckon it was a really tight game. It was the game where he nearly took the mark. He flew for a mark. He didn't take it. Someone else did. And they kicked the goal on the siren.
Jack Henry against Richmond.
Geez, you got a good memory. That's why you were off to the – anyway. he got best on ground that game, and I interviewed him. He goes, hey, look, love what you said about me on the week. These players don't miss a thing. But he's a rare talent. Who else is capable of doing that is the discussion in match committee at 18 clubs. Some just don't have the capability. St Kilda don't have that player. North Melbourne don't have that player yet. The Hawks don't have that player yet. So it's a hard one to find, but when you've got one, you've got to explore it.
And on the Monday means test, Kingy had the Lions in the pressure index.
Do you look at the year and say, okay, we're going to try some different things. He says he's got to motivate this group. I've never seen a Brisbane team appear as dull, slow, and basic. They were playing average on the weekend, and that's the biggest challenge in footy. How do you motivate this group? How do you get them to the effort levels of the past just to compete? We talked about the Giants giving them Winburn on the weekend. I mean, that they just made them look so listless and effortless for long periods of the game. So that's a huge challenge, especially when you don't have the young kids to bring in to create that enthusiasm. We talked about Darcy Jones and Jake Rogers coming in, and all of a sudden you go, wow, this is good. Where's this kid been, Who have they got that they can bring in to do that? Or do they have to change roles? Do they have to say, okay, we're going to do this week to try and regenerate, try and do something different? It's a big challenge. I think it's a big challenge in season with the table telling you one thing as a player. You look at the ladder and you go, we're miles off those teams. They'd look at GWS, some of those players, and go, we're miles off that. We're miles off Carlton. Have a look at what Geelong are doing. We're miles off that. And then in the back of their mind be thinking, do we have all the answers here? Why aren't we doing these things? There's a bit of See that scene from Jerry Maguire when Jerry gives him, you know, he gets the big hug? How come we don't hug? How come we're not hugging, you know? Why aren't we getting that next level intel?
Robert Craddock on whether Australia should include Jake Fraser-McGurk in the World Cup squad.
Well, I tell you what, as of late last week, he was not in the squad. He was not in the squad, but the squad hadn't been finalised. But the 15 names, let's say they were written in pencil, there was no Jake Fraser-McGurk. However, surely they would have had to have a rethink. It's an interesting one because you then say, who misses out, Jarrett? And see, Steve Smith for me is not there anyway. I think he's gone. I don't think Jake Fraser-McGurk is replacing Steve Smith. Steve Smith for me didn't make it. So someone said to me, Josh Inglis, but I just think it's so hard to get players to the West Indies. And if something happened to Matthew Wade the day before a game, you do need a backup keeper. And I know he's probably mightn't even get a start, but it's not as if it's in New Zealand or even in Australia. You know, it's a long way. So you get to Matt Short. Now, for me, he's the guy, Jared. He's the guy who would have been written in pencil last week because he not only is a good batsman, but he can bowl spin as well. But I just think you've still got, apart from Zampa, you've got Maxwell that can bowl spin, Travis Head that can bowl spin. So who is going to win you a match out of Short or the debonair, tightrope walking cavalier, Jake Fraser-McGurk?
And Crash isn't totally buying live golf.
You know, Jared, that's a big statement because, you know, you're watching it without a vested interest, really, and just enjoying it. So, look, they I know that they do really enjoy coming to Australia and feeling that love. You know, there's been other tournaments where I saw a grab from one of their golfers. Who was it when they were playing overseas? He said, gee, there's no one here today, is there? And he said, no, that's why we're on the big bucks, mate, because we've got to be prepared to play in empty spaces, you know.
Yep.
And that was just, the guy didn't even know he's being taped, and that was from live overseas. Whereas that whole celebration of Adelaide and the going out to dinner together with dignitaries of Adelaide, they all got off on it. So, no, good on them. It's worked well for him. But I just, for some reason, Jared, I just can't quite fall in love with it.
Plus, Gareth Hall, after Romantic Warrior and James McDonald combined for a sixth Group One together.
I don't think we appreciated him as much as we should have when he was here in Australia, because he was first up off an interrupted preparation in the Turnbull and he finished outside of the placings, and then he bounced back to win a Cox Plate to defeat Mr. Brightside right on the wire. But then his efforts since then, especially his home country, have been remarkable. He's a dead set winner, this horse, and it was his best performance, I think, last night.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available on the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.